Now, I don't know what this 4th of July week has been like for you, but for me, I've been unloading and unpacking boxes at my house, talking with Reverend Becky, and going to Chubby's Chicken only to find out that it's closed for the next several weeks. But I've also been praying for you and for this community and wondering what God is calling us to. And all that praying got me to thinking about callings. Our call as the church and my personal call. You see, my call to ministry, it wasn't like Paul's or Ezekiel's or even like Samuel's. I didn't experience blinding on the road to Damascus, thank God, or a vision that couldn't be denied. I didn't hear God's voice audibly calling out to me. And I didn't have an aha moment that I feel like is really common in call stories. But let's be honest, I'm not really an aha moment type of person. I'm a slow and steady kind of person. So my call, it wasn't like the call of most of the biblical characters I'd read about. And when I get down to it, my call isn't much like the call of most of the ministers I knew either. I wasn't called to ministry through the church, but outside of it, while working in a domestic violence shelter, a shelter for abused women and children. I was actually in college at the time, and I was interning as a social worker. I loved the women there, and I really liked the work. And at first, that was where I thought God wanted me to work. A calling of sorts, but I never would have used that language back then. But my heart was regularly broken. These women, they'd been through so much. And I felt like the shelter was only meeting the bare minimum of their needs. And if they stayed too long, it was my job. I had to put them out on the streets. So after nearly a year of working there, I felt like I didn't have anything to offer. And so I thought it through, and I came up with a completely logical way to still honor the work that I felt like God wanted me to do, but to get out of the day-to-day muck that working in the shelter was giving me, the stuff that was breaking my heart. I decided I would be a lawyer. I'd work as a legal advocate for abused women. And so I took the LSAT, and I got a job as a landman at an oil and gas company so that I could save up enough money to go to grad school. But as I started down that road, I realized that it wasn't the legal situation of these women that had so troubled me. One of the things that had made me so upset was the lack of spiritual care given to these women and children in one of the darkest moments of their lives. And that's when I realized God's call on my life was something different than I thought it had been. And I slowly began to change direction. And then someone shared with me the words of the great minister and novelist Frederick Buechner. He said, "The place God calls you to is the place where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet. Where your deep gladness and the world's deep hunger meet." I realized that being a minister united one of the world's deep hungers with an area of my deep gladness. And suddenly, I knew where I was supposed to be. It wasn't too long before I was on the road headed to North Carolina for seminary, where I eventually met this one and ended up here because of it. For me, this call led me to ordained ministry. And for most of us, when we read about the call of Samuel, or when we think about callings in general, we're quick to think of a call to ordained ministry alone. And culture is certainly quick to support that notion. But in reality, we are all called. For in baptism, we die to self in the waters and we're raised to new life in Christ, marked for service to God and service to others. We each have a unique call. For some, that call is to a vocation or a job. People who are teachers, are ministers, are doctors, or even musicians who've known since they were really little that this is what they were supposed to be doing. But for others of us, maybe we're called less to a certain role or job and more to specific tasks that arise. Called to be a better friend. Called to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves. Or to simply give a smile to someone who really needs it that day. The idea of each of us having a calling can be a little intimidating at times. I mean, it can be intimidating to read these call stories out of the Bible, especially if we start comparing the call on our lives to that of the great biblical characters and their calls. I mean, God literally calls out audibly to Samuel. How many of us can say we've experienced that? But then again, Samuel, he doesn't recognize it's God's voice. And I think there's something oddly reassuring about that. And that's what I love about Samuel's call story. It's so relatable in so many ways. You see, God speaks and Samuel doesn't get it. Samuel doesn't recognize the voice of his Lord. I mean, how many times have you wondered, is that the voice of God? Is that my own conscience? Are those the same things? Is this just a desire of my own? It's easy to read Samuel's story and think, see, Samuel heard God speaking, and he had it all figured out. But in our scriptures, Samuel needs Eli to help him discern that it's God's voice speaking to him. It took Eli, his mentor, knowing the young boy, knowing his passions, and it took Eli telling him, God is the one calling you, not me. So for all of my planning, I also couldn't have heard my call without my family and my friends and my pastors, who heard what I was going through and nudged me, maybe shoved me at times, into recognizing what God was really doing in my life. Your call isn't just something that you feel. It's something that a community recognizes. God speaks to us in all sorts of words and nudges, and in my experience, far more nudges than words. We need our families and our communities to help us discern the voice of God from all those other voices we have talking in our head all the time. We need people in our lives who tell us the truth about ourselves, whether that's lovingly taking us down a notch or reminding us just how loved we really are. Or maybe it's repeating our own words back to us and saying, I don't know if you realize this, but whenever you talk about this subject, you seem to come alive. This is what others do for us. This is what we can do for others, in our families as well as in our church. For me, I began to recognize that God was calling me to be a minister, not through my own doing or planning, but through my mom, and also through the voice of a minister who actually spoke first to my sister instead of me, because the minister knew I wasn't ready to hear something like that from someone outside of my close circle of friends and family. If Eli hadn't helped Samuel realize God was calling him, who knows what Samuel would have been? Maybe he would have been a carpenter or a fisherman, or maybe he would be a priest. Maybe it just would have taken him a lot of extra years to get there. If my mom and my pastor and my sister hadn't told me that they felt God was calling me, maybe I'd be a lawyer right now, wondering why things felt just a little off. But I'm here. I'm here because of my family and because of my church who have brought me here. People who helped me realize where my deep gladness was and how I could use that to feed just some of the world's great hunger. We're human beings created by God, and we're each created with unique passions to give glory to God and make this world a brighter place. I don't know about you, but I think things feel different when people put gladness into their work. Food tastes better when the chef is glad to have made it. Football is more wild and entertaining when the players are glad to be playing and when the Saints win. I'm not sure what your calling is or if what you feel called to has anything to do with the work that you do day in and day out. You could be called to art or parenting or sending cards to people who just seem down. You don't have to have it all figured out in the beginning. And you probably couldn't have it all figured out if you wanted to. But whatever it is, when you feel the nudge, when others are pointing out what God seems to be doing with you, may you, like Samuel, step up and respond, "Here I am." Amen.